We're about to continue our series going through the book of Acts, part of our 5x5x5 reading plan as we read through the New Testament in 2024 together. And I'm delighted that Ron Day is going to be sharing some thoughts with us on some passages in Acts 11 and Acts 13 as well. Ron is the former minister of Histon Baptist Church near Cambridge, and he's also a lecturer at Spurgeon's Bible College in London. And he's a very gifted man, gifted communicator, very wise as well. So I know you're going to appreciate what he shares with us. Before I hand over to Ron, I'm going to read some of the Bible to us. So if you've got a Bible there, I'd love you to turn to Acts chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18. And then we're going to flick over the page and read Acts 13, 1 to 3. And it says this: "The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went to the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with them.' Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." And over the page to Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. "Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off."
Well, hello everyone. It would be useful if you have Acts 10 to 14 open before you. It would be even more useful if you have read it. So if you haven't, pause the video and do it now. Acts 10 to 14 is all about the kingdom. Now, Acts 10 to 14 is part of Acts, which is part of Luke's gospel. This is part two, what Jesus continued to do by the Holy Spirit working through the church. That's clear in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. So this is part two. And it has a consistency because it's about the kingdom of God. They all knew of the kingdom of God. It is the realm where God is king, where his will is done, where he determines the rules, where his ways are right, where he determines who may enter and on what grounds. There is no room for other opinions. And they all preached it. John the Baptist preached it. The kingdom of God is near. Jesus preached it. Once he was baptized, that was the gospel, the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, says Matthew. And it's where the apostles also preached the same message. They weren't preaching something different. They all said the same thing. Repent, change direction, because God's kingdom is near and you are going to miss it if you don't repent. Now, the mission of God is to get people into the kingdom of God. And in Acts, you get the Holy Spirit driving the mission of God. The kingdom of God is here. You can enter through Christ the Messiah. That was the message that went out through the church. And the church were going to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, up comes Pentecost and 3,000 are added to the church in one day. Then later on, the church grows to 5,000. And by the start of chapter 10, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria have all been reached to some extent. They've been challenged with this good news of the kingdom. You can come in through Jesus. And if God waited for the church until the church was ready, I think they'd still be in Jerusalem. Acts tells us that God was working and God was speaking, because that's what God does. He works and he speaks. And in these chapters, you see that God works through the church to reach people. And he works through people to bring them in outside of the church. Peter is on the inside being inspired by the Holy Spirit to reach out. Cornelius is on the outside seeking something, and God inspires him to reach in. Often we think that evangelism is a one-way street, that we have to go out, but it's not. God is at work in people, those that we reach out to already. Now, Peter and Cornelius come together. Peter speaks, Cornelius receives the Holy Spirit, and another group of people join the kingdom of God through Christ the Lord. And Peter reacts to it, saying, well, we better baptize them, since they have the Holy Spirit already, just like us. And when God speaks, he speaks to individuals like Peter. And he speaks to churches who are comfortable. He speaks to the Jerusalem church in chapter 11. And they are gobsmacked that God doesn't use their ways. It's a change of direction for everyone. For the church, who thought that evangelism was better done their way. And for those coming in, they still had to repent to change their way so that it led to life. Next we come to Antioch, even further away from Jerusalem, about 350 miles north, beyond Samaria. It's on the Syria-Turkey border, where some Christians ran away when Stephen was martyred. They settled and met as a church, spreading the good news that Jesus was the Messiah, and therefore the kingdom of God was open through him. But God inspired some to preach to Gentiles there as well. And there were more converts, and Jerusalem sends Barnabas to see what's going on. I'm wondering if the church is getting a bit dodgy. And Barnabas sees that it's a work of the Holy Spirit driving the mission of God. He also sees they need teaching in the ways of the kingdom of God. So he sends for Saul, the converted Pharisee, and he joins their leadership team. A year later, the church in Antioch finds that God is a challenging God. And God speaks about the mission of God. I want 40% of your golden leadership and teaching team for mission, Paul and Barnabas. And they go and they preach. And people are drawn into the kingdom by the Spirit of God working through them. They set up mini churches saying, you have the Holy Spirit, work it out, and we'll pray for you. They move across Cyprus, then over Turkey, and visit another Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And in each place, God has been preparing the way, so disciples were made, and they were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. That's in chapter 13 at the end. But there's deep opposition in those communities as well, and they're stoned and chased out. So they retrace their steps in Turkey before going back to Antioch, their home church. And they report all that God had done through them and how he had opened up the door of faith for the Gentiles. God is a challenging God. And his challenge is this, for unbelievers to come into the kingdom of God, for individuals to listen to the voice of God, and for churches to engage in the mission of God. And that's what he does. You get what's going on? And the question that we draw from this is, are we ready for God's mission? You see, God's pace of mission is always ahead of ours. We think of other things that we need to do. The church is never ready for mission, for outreach, for the pace of God in seeking the lost. But he's working ahead of us, preparing the way in the hearts of people and minds of people. He's working in some of us now, inspiring us to reach out to others. But sometimes we just want to go slower, to consolidate, to look after widows, to be good stewards of buildings, and all these are good things, but the Holy Spirit wants your family, your friends, your neighbors to be part of the kingdom, and he's working in them right now to bring them to a point of encounter, and he's asking, who will go? Could you be the one who is ready to share your story of how you encounter the living God through Jesus? Or maybe you're one of those people that have never actually entered the kingdom of God, where God rules. You'd be happy to come to church, and you believe you're okay because you believe Jesus died for you and rose again, but there's still something missing, and you've held back. You've never said, I surrender to you. You are my king. Your will, not mine, be done. Maybe you've entered the kingdom, but still want to be in charge. All I can say is good luck with that. There's only one king in the kingdom of heaven. And surrendered to him is the making of you. It's a place of peace and joy and comfort and blessing that you've always been looking for. It's where you fit in. It's where you really are under all that other stuff. It's where gifts are given. It's where challenges are given and taken up. It's where relationships deepen. It's where miracles happen. It's where ultimate purpose is found. The early church turned the world upside down with the message, the kingdom of God is near. You can enter it if you change direction and come through the door of Jesus Christ, Redeemer and Lord. And he wants this church to start in Frinton and do the same. He wants you to be part of his team, maybe as one who is sent out like Paul and Barnabas, or maybe as one who looks after the widows and orphans and teaching at home. But the question is, will you say, I surrender, your will be done? That's what's going on in Acts, and we get the story about those who say, your will be done, and follow it.